Thank you very much for coming today for the ISKCON Silicon Valley Bhagavad Gita class for those who have arrived a little late. We welcome all. Today we will be reading from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita entitled Karma Yoga and the 14th verse. That will be on page 161. Can you repeat after me? Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna sambhavah.
Parjanyad anna sambhavah.
Yajnyad bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnyad bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhavah. Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna sambhavah.
Parjanyad anna sambhavah.
Yajnyad bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnyad bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Somebody from the audience.
Annad bhavanti
bhutani.
Parjanyad anna
sambhava.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhava.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Yajnat bhavanti parjanyo.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnah karma samudbhava.
Yajnah karma samudbhava.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnah karma samudbhava.
Yajna karma samudbhavah. Ladies.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Parjanyad anna sambhava.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhava.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyad anna
sambhava.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhava. Annad. From grains. Bhavanti. Grow. Bhutani. The material bodies. Parjanyat, from rains, anna, or food grains, sambhavaha, production, yajnat, from the performance of sacrifice, bhavati, becomes possible, parjanyaha, rain, yajnaha, performance of yajna, karma, prescribed duties. Samudbhavaha, born of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Purport. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, a great commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, writes as follows. Ye indriyadi angataya vyastitam yajnam sarveshvaram vishnum abhyarchatachesham ashnanti tena tad dehayatram sampadayanti te santah sarveshvarasya Yajna Purushasya Bhakta Sarva Kilbisher Anadikala Vivridher atmanubhava pratibandhakair nikhilai papair vimuchyanti. The Supreme Lord, who is known as Yajna Purusha, or the personal beneficiary of all sacrifices, is the master of all the demigods, who serve him as different limbs of the body serve the whole. Demigods like Indra, Chandra and Varuna are appointed officers who manage material affairs. And the Vedas direct sacrifices to satisfy these demigods so that they may be pleased to supply air, light and water sufficiently to produce food grains. When Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods who are different limbs of the Lord are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there is no separate need to worship the demigods. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord who are in Krishna consciousness offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are the past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection. And one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all the reactions of the past material infections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs and to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack. Whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. Food grains or vegetables are factual eatables. The human being eats different kinds of food grains, vegetables, fruits, etc. And the animals eat the refuse of the food grains, vegetables, grass, plants, etc. Human beings who are accustomed to eating meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. The field production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by the demigods like Indra, Sun, Moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices, therefore one who cannot perform them will find himself in scarcity. That's the law of nature. Yajna, specifically the Sankirtan Yajna, prescribed for this age, must therefore be performed to save us at least from the scarcity of food supply. In societies all over the world, especially in these days, there is an intense desire by the population and by the government to economically advance the societies. There are planning commissions, there are committees, there are so many plans being made by the governments how to improve the economic development. While this is good in one sense, the scarcity cannot be avoided by material development or economic development. It is practically seen in pretty much all parts of the world, even in the economically developed countries, there are scarcities like famine, other ill effects of material activities. The reason for this is because if man forgets the position that he is supposed to be playing in this universal affairs, then, as it is mentioned in the previous verses, he is a thief. Because none of us can exist without light. None of us can exist without air, water, or the food. And these are supplied by the demigods who actually control these material affairs. And as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, these different demigods are but part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we satisfy Krishna, by performing our devotional service, then automatically all the demigods are satisfied. A practical example, one may question, how is this possible? How is this like? Really give me an example. We'll hear in Bhagavatam, in the 14th chapter, when Brahma offers his prayers to Krishna, there is a practical testimony by the boss of all demigods, who is Brahma. He says that when the Brajbasis perform devotional service onto you, when they serve you, we as the demigods of the senses also enjoy the nectar which they are deriving by serving you. Because ultimately the demigods, they control the senses. Of course, we can go deeper into that verse where Brahma says that, but the point here is that the demigods factually control the senses. Different demigods are in charge of different senses in our body, and when they give us permission, we can actually enjoy this material world. It's not that willy-nilly you can enjoy the material world. No, it's not possible. And you can practically see it. There is a satiation at every point in somebody who's trying to enjoy materially, there is a limit. When you enjoy something, there is a reaction. There is a concomitant anxiety or frustration that goes with it. It's something which we can observe it daily. And factually, how much can senses give us happiness? If a person likes laddus, how many laddus can he eat? 5? 7? Push the belly, 10? Then 12, world record 15, all right, done. The next day, give him the same laddus. Yeah, laddus, yeah, okay. Instead of 15, he'll make it 10. Yes, okay. And then the third day you give him, he'll make it 7. The fourth day you give him, he'll kick you. Because he's bored of laddus. Pretty much that is material enjoyment. The material enjoyment, as the Lord says in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 22nd verse, yehi samsparsha jaboga. Yes, you're right. That's what he says, Srivatsa. Thank you. Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavantu kaunteya nateshuramate evada. That the material pleasures have a beginning and an end. Every material pleasure. And then the problem is that not only they have a satiation, but after that there is an anxiety. A person, for example, a person who's poor or who's lacking wealth, his anxiety, let me get some wealth, I have to get some wealth, and day and night he's just thinking of this, and very, very anxious, you know, frustrated not getting wealth. Once he gets the wealth, oh my God, I have to keep it safe for my relatives. I don't know who will going to steal away my wealth. Maybe the time will come, oh, inflation happened, my stock's all gone down. There's always anxiety going on. This is the nature of material world, like it or not. Here we are, oh sir, we are quiet, we are good people, we are sitting quietly. There comes an earthquake. Who can control it? This is the nature of material world. Bhagavatam says, samashritaye pada pallava plavam, mahat padam punya muru, mahat padam yasho punya murare, mahat padam yasho murare, thank you. Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param, yes please. Thank you, Panditji. So this is what Bhagavatam says. That's the nature of material world. That there is destruction at every step. There is danger. There is not only danger from the different sources, but also the danger that at the time of death, one may not keep this body. And one doesn't even know what form of body one is going to get. You don't control it. Well, I don't remember having a menu when I was in my mother's womb. Oh, which country do you want to be born? Which family do you want to be born? No, I am born. Based on my past karma, I am given this body. And again, based on the activities which I perform in this lifetime, I'll get another body. The cycle of birth and death goes on. So really, if a person works very, very hard throughout his life, accumulating money, building up property, building up power, prestige, name, society, trophies, Nobel Prizes, whatever. What's the gain? What's the gain of that person? Really, what has he gained? Everything, including that body which a person was, he or she was so very deeply, supremely attached, you are giving up at the time of death. And really, you don't even have the control of your body. So what is it? What is the value or what is the gain that one gets from the human form of life? That's Shastras awaken us. That the Shastras say us, wake up. Now is the time. Start building up your credit. Start building up your spiritual bank balance. Why? It's going to remain with you. Nobody can take it. No thief can plunder it. No government can corrupt it. No boss can take away. No lawyer can tax it. Nothing. That is yours forever. Neha vikrama nashosti pratyavayuna vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya thrayate mahatavaya. So in this world where there are earthquakes, fires and tornadoes and hurricanes, Katrinas, whatever, what is it that gives the real shelter? Because one may say, man, there are earthquakes yesterday, so I'm going to leave California. All right, go to Texas. There is a hurricane there. Thanks. This is not safe. Okay, I want to go to some other place. Sure, go. There will be something else there. Where do you want to run? Where can you run? Everywhere there is danger. It's the nature of this world. Brahma is saying that the words which our Kishoreji told is told by Brahma. We should know who Brahma is actually. Let's give some intro for Brahma. Brahma was created from the navel of Vishnu, and it is he who created this material universe. Everything systematically is created by... He's a very powerful person. He created this entire universe, all the planets, everything nicely engineered by Brahma. He says this place is a world of danger. It's like you go to a car dealership and a very nice car, very luxurious car, very wonderful car. He says, okay, take the keys, but we don't know when the wheels will come out. You can drive this car, but... what is this? Yeah, I have built this car, but the wheels will come out. Or the steering wheel will come out. Something will happen. Or the tires will go flat. Sometimes the engine will drop out of the car. Or the car's outer covering will go off. Something will happen to the car. Man, this is a dangerous thing. Yes, it is. Like it or not. So what is the real shelter? What is the real source of confidence, of strength in this material world? That's the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna says that those who take the shelter at my lotus feet, they are never lost. They are never disturbed or perturbed. Whether they are thrown into hell or thrown into heaven, the devotees of the Lord say, we don't care. Because they are so nicely serving Krishna in whatever condition of life they exist in. They really say, that's okay, my Lord. Maravi Rakhavi Joi Chatmar Nitya Asa Pratituva Adhikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you can kill me or you can protect me. It's up to you. I am your eternal servant. You have a right. You have that right to do whatever you want to do with me. Then what do you want? Krishna will ask. I just want your bhakti. I just want to serve you. Wherever I am. If you want to put me as an insect, fine. It's your call. But you want me to become Brahma who is averse to you? No thanks. That is the nature of devotion. That's the nature of devotion, sir. Because that is there in the shloka book. I don't remember the words, but it is said that wherever the devotees are put, all they want is bhakti. So, in one sense, the debate about the origin of jiva is something which becomes a little moot point, because we really, the pure devotees, they don't care. Because they know that this world is a full of place of dangers and suffering. And in this place where we have to take so much stress just to maintain ourselves, yajnas, demigods are there. Oh my God. It's like you get into the house, there is water bill, electricity bill, there is property tax, there is this tax. So in the material world, when you come, there are all these demigods waiting. Where is my share? Give me. Pardon? I thought this was free. Water is free. Where are you? No. This is what it is. This is tough. How many demigods can we satisfy? That's another question. So Prabhupada is very intelligent. He says, okay, don't take all that tension. Just satisfy the big boss. Everybody is satisfied. So how do you satisfy Krishna in this age? That is another question. Just by chanting Hare Krishna. Gauranga Mahaprabhu came and he gave this beautiful mantra just by chanting. And he says, don't worry about place. Don't worry about who you are, where you are, what is your qualification, what is your disqualification. Just chant and you will experience the highest happiness. Because if Krishna can maintain... I was reading an interesting statistic. Over a period, over a lifetime, a 65-year-old man eats about 60,000 pounds of food throughout his life. And on average, give and take, of course. There are always people who are going to consume 100,000, there are people who are going to consume 50. So 60,000 pounds of food he eats over a lifetime, he or she. So, and then that is just, we are talking about average human being. Take it, I don't know the exact statistics, but an elephant. Let's deal with an elephant here. They easily end up eating five times, maybe 300,000 pounds of food. And they live much longer, by the way. So, or 50, 60 years, same time. So whale is huge. It's gigantic. So how much food the whale will eat? The point is that if Krishna is able to maintain all these gigantic, huge animals, can't he maintain his devotees who take shelter of him? Doesn't he have that capacity to maintain? Of course he has. But more than that is that you get that ultimate fearlessness. That any situation, we don't care. As long as we are serving Krishna. It is said, I don't know if it's there in the verse. Let's look it up. Fifth chapter, Raugana and Jadabharat. This is a fifth canto, page. Sorry for the regret. Ramaswamy Prabhu, can you just pass me the fifth canto, please? Yeah. Thank you very much. No, it is Rahugana. The verse is that I don't fear Yamaraj's punishment, neither do I fear Shivji taking his trident and throwing on my head, or any other punishment which they give. The only fear I have is that I don't offend a devotee. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to find that, but in the next class I'll find that verse and I'll tell it to you. So the fearlessness amongst a devotee is that is the actual fearlessness. Because in this material world, what happens is fear is there. Fear is there amongst the heart of every embodied living being. As soon as you have a body, you'll have fear. Because it is said in that ఆహార నిద్ర భయ మైథునంచ సామాన్యమేతత్ పశుహీనరాన. ఆహార నిద్ర భయ మైథున, దిస్ ఇస్ కామన్ బిట్వీన్ ది హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ అండ్ ది యానిమల్. అండ్ యాజ్ లో బికాస్ దట్ ఈస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంబాడీడ్ వరల్డ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ చేంజింగ్. నథింగ్ రిమైన్స్ సేమ్. బై ద ఫోర్స్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ చేంజెస్. ద బాడీ, you know, bodily changes, there are changes in the social structure, there are so many changes that are happening, and these changes induce fear in the heart of the embodied being. What happens if I become old? What will happen if I lose my job? What will happen if, you know, so and so country, so and so president attacks so and so country? Then the oil prices will go up. Oh my God, so many fears. I don't have so many. It's there. The whole material world abounds with this particular thing. So just by taking the devotional service, one is saved from the great danger. Initially, because for long we have been accustomed to this material world. For the long we have been accustomed to the ways of the world from since time immemorial. And so, what is natural, what seems natural in the conditioned state, is actually unnatural. It's not a natural position to be afraid of everything. Because Krishna says that one who has realized me, in the sixth chapter he says that one who has realized me, he thinks this is the greatest gain, and under any severe material tribulation he is not disturbed. That is the sweetness, that is the guarantee of devotional service. And this, in sixth chapter when he talks, let's take that verse, page number... page number 292. In that stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks that there is no gain, greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. Because materially, when one tries to adjust the situation in the material world to counteract these difficulties, they may work for a short while, but what happens is, in the long run, they are not of permanent solution. Some other problem will crop up. Now, anybody can say that the modern medicine has made such advances in the last 100 years. Who will refute that fact, telling that modern medicine has made advances? Is there anybody who says no? Modern medicine has made so much of advances. Yet today we are having still the same amount, or if not more, diseases. Sometimes people criticize the ISKCON movement. So why are you not working for the benefit of poor, philanthropy? Why don't you open hospitals and charities and this and that? But we are doing the greatest charitable work by educating the people so that they can get rid of this material body, which is the source of problems since time immemorial, once forever. That is the reason why ISKCON emphasizes so much on the spreading of knowledge. Because the main reason for the state of affairs is the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge that I am a spirit soul, I am part and parcel of God, and what's my position. People are born in ignorance, and unless some higher authority, either by the good fortune of the person or through the mercy of the Lord, which is descending, either one of that happens, then a person remains in ignorance. And what happens if the person remains in ignorance? Again, take this body. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayaram. Sripad Adi Shankara says, he also agrees. This is the nature of the world. But the greatest fortune is that when you have a human body, you can make a solution of this problem. And in this age, which is so riddled with such severe anomalies, that even just maintaining your body is such an endeavor, Mahaprabhu came like a soothing balm and gave this Mahamantra. It's just so simple. And of course, Srila Prabhupada came and he it's amazing austerity to perform, to do what he has done in such a short span of time. He gave us the books which are the source of all the instructions. Because it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one has to read Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. Unless one reads Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava, one cannot understand what Bhagavatam is all about. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one of the articles he wrote, you should read Bhagavatam. He said you should read Bhagavatam. You know, where can anybody guess where he said you should read Bhagavatam? Any guesses? He said you should read Bhagavatam in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What does he mean? Care to venture a guess? Tell more. Yeah, it's a good guess.
That time, maybe Bhagavatam is not being translated or purported in English, so maybe Chaitanya Charitamrita is available. So it's already available given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami.
Right.
I think Bhagavatam verses are there, but
it's a reasonably good guess. The reason it is said is that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he explained the confidential meaning of the Bhagavatam verses. So when we read Bhagavatam after understanding or after getting the mercy of Mahaprabhu, then we can realize the essence of Bhagavatam. That was the import. Otherwise, if one tries to understand Bhagavatam directly, one cannot actually understand the purport. And Srila Prabhupada, he performed a severe austerity of getting up 1 o'clock every day and for 3-4 hours all over the world when he was touring, in spite of his health, in spite of so many inconveniences, he was doing this Bhagavatam so that he could give the essential meaning coming from the disciplic succession to the Bhagavatam verses by which one could understand Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's just difficult. And by understanding Bhagavatam, we get this great confidence. Prabhupada gives the guarantee that we get this strength and confidence that this is the right path, and there is nothing greater than this. There is nothing more valuable. There is nothing more worth our time than to spend the time in the process of devotional service. And everything else will be covered. Satisfying the demigods, maintaining oneself, and plus getting the highest goal of life is covered in the process of bhakti. You don't have to do extra endeavor. Of course, one may question, oh, that's nice, so I can quit my job tomorrow and sit at home and do bhakti all day long. Can anybody do that? Or does anybody want to do that? Why not, Ramaswamy Prabhu? Right. That's a nice point. Any other comments? Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
The other is that one has to work in order to keep your body and soul.
Nice point, yeah.
And even Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita that one should not abandon work. So far as renunciation or sannyas is concerned, at several places, including this chapter, when we were going through the verses, he's saying that life of renunciation or given up work doesn't achieve the end goal of perfection. The 18th chapter is saying the same thing, that one has to work, and it's better to do one's work than copy somebody else, even though your own work may not lead to the type of result that you want.
Right.
So that comes from the Bhagavad Gita, that work should be there. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you quoted, has said, you don't need to change your position. From any position, devote some time to bhakti, devotion service, chant and remember the name of the Lord, and you would have done your prescribed duty. So one really doesn't need to abandon work under any conditions.
Very nice, very nice. Thank you. And to add to that point, Brahmaji also quoted, he says, Tane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manovhir. Jivanti shan mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Jnane praya samudapasya namanti eva jivanti shan mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manovhir. Ye prayaso jita jitopyasya traistrilokyam. He says that give up this habit of speculation. As earlier we were reading in Isopanishad, no one can understand God by speculation. God may be like this. God is something like that. God is something like this. We cannot speculate about God. Why? Because Krishna is far beyond the material world. And whatever the tools we have, the senses, to understand God, it is defective. It's really defective. If a person is put into a dark room, you can't even see what's there. You can't see your own hand in front of it. So, if with defective senses we can never understand God, so what is it? Brahma says, just give your ears to the persons who already are situated in the platform of devotional service and just listen to them. That's all is needed. Sthane sthita, just stay in your position. As Rakshit Prabhu so rightly pointed out, if you have dependents, you can't just run away. And that's what Arjuna wanted to do. If you can see the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, my Lord, that's okay. If they want to have the kingdom, let them have. I'll go to forest, live by begging. Krishna said, no, you can't do that. And then he quoted dharma. He quoted the karma. He says, you are a kshatriya, you have to do this. And then the whole Bhagavad Gita chapter came, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. But as we are doing today, coming together to the temple, to see the beautiful form of the Lord, to hear, to discuss about His words and His pastimes, and to chant the names of the Lord, this is in itself enough. Actually, that verse which I quoted, the Jnane Prayasam, in the commentary, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has said, actually the devotees don't even go to the holy places. Some might say that, we haven't had a chance to go to holy places. He said, if you can go to holy places, that's well and good. It's always recommended that one goes to holy dham if you have the time. But if you do not have the time, there is no need to feel any lamentation. Just hearing about Krishna, that's enough. And the beauty is that as you hear, your thirst for hearing increases. You want to listen more and more. And more. That's the nature of Krishna Katha. Exactly opposite is the newspapers of this world. Because I've practically seen it. A person in our office, he gets Wall Street Journal. And then, he gets it to the office. He doesn't have time to read, I guess. So in the morning when he's driving to office, he picks it up from his curb and gets it to the office and keeps it on the kitchen table where people come and read. And I have seen today a person, he got it yesterday, I think today he didn't get, I don't know why he didn't get, but he didn't get. So yesterday, one of the colleagues he came by, he looked at the paper, he looked at the date, he threw it away and left because it was yesterday's newspaper. He didn't care about the newspaper. That is the nature of material world. It's stale. It's very fast it becomes stale. Spiritual world is not like that. Imagine if one day's newspaper is having such a problem, 5,000 years ago Bhagavatam is written. But yet it's ever fresh. It's ever new. The acharyas, they have commented, they have rejoiced, they have enjoyed, they have delighted Bhagavatam. The nature of spiritual world, nature of spiritual topics, that we enjoy more and more and more. Any questions? I'm sorry I overstepped a little bit, but any questions, any comments? Thank you for tolerating me. And though I have no qualification to speak, I'm just speaking just as a service to Vaisheshika Prabhu. Any questions, comments, suggestions, criticisms, improvements?
Regarding this verse, can
you comment more on Yajna is born of spiritual duty? Sure. The Vedas, Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna. That in the Vedas, there are clear descriptions for different classes of people. Now, Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam maya srushtam gunakarma vibhagashah, that in the Daivi Varnashram, everybody had their prescribed duties. And the Brahman class, or the priestly class, their prescribed duty was what? Performing sacrifices. And where would they get the sacrifice ingredients from? The kings would take care of it. So everybody in the society had some prescribed duties, but either directly or indirectly aimed at performing yajna. So yajna is born of the prescribed duties. If there is now, in the modern time, there are no strict Brahmana class or priestly class. If they were, they would be performing their prescribed duties, which was performing sacrifices. And if performing sacrifices, we would get everything needed. So that is where the statement comes in, yajna is born of prescribed duties. Does that answer your question?
But in other words, is doing prescribed duty considered in yajna by that sentence?
If you are doing your prescribed duties, yes. Directly or indirectly, you are performing yajna. For example, in the modern context, I'm going to office. I'm typing on computer, or I'm doing research work, I'm doing lawyership, I'm doing political. Where is yajna there? But if you have a temple at home, if you are performing sankirtan, then your act of going to office is to maintain your body and perform your sankirtan, which is nothing but yajna. And your dependents, you are encouraging them to perform yajna, or to perform sankirtan yajna. Which is again in the indirect way you are doing it. So in the modern world, the distinction is blurred between a pure yajna and a non-yajna. But if one is in the process of devotional service, then one is doing his yajna. And the prescribed duties are whatever occupation we are in, not prescribed, but whatever occupation you are in, that's just a support for the yajna, which is essential support. Unless we reach to the platform where you don't need that support. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you very much.